This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Letterman Row. It is bold prediction time, everyone's favorite part of the week. We are getting set for Ohio State at Nebraska. The early kickoff out there in Lincoln, 11 a.m. local time. I know we can't wait for that. Just the early wake-up call, get in there. Lots of people holding balloons, might be holding them for a very long time. We've seen that before. It's usually a good trip, though. Nebraska fans are good sports. That's Spencer Holbrook, Zach Carpenter, Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward, the king of bold predictions.
Yeah, really good at it.
So good. I don't know if I did that great last week, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, you did predict Ohio State would not return the punt for a touchdown, so good job. You nailed
that's
that one.
Got that one. That's a big win for the program.
Clap it up. Thank you.
No spoilers on if I'll predict that again this week or not. But give Penn State a lot of credit, though, for last week for making us look a little foolish. They played really hard for James Franklin. They still went home with a loss, and Ohio State stayed unbeaten heading into November. So that one's done and dusted, and let's get into Ohio State, Nebraska, Burr.
Yeah, the key here, folks, is to understand that bold predictions are meant to be bold.
Ooh.
Okay? So I know sometimes we see the commenters, and they're like, oh, my God, these dudes were way off. Of course we're way off.
Of course.
Like, these are intentionally bold predictions because, A,
yeah, but they should come true once in a while.
We're trying to have a little bit of fun here.
No. Yeah, we're fine. We're
trying to want them to?
I mean, I want them to every week because that's why I make them. But we're having a little bit of fun. And I'm going to start this week by having a little bit of fun and saying 400 yards passing for C.J. Stroud against a Nebraska defense that is actually fairly good.
I mean, so far down.
400 yards.
400 yards passing.
Out on a limb
C.J. Stroud. Well, listen, Nebraska's middle of the road defensively in the Big Ten. I think they're eighth against the pass. They do a nice job. They got good linebackers, which is, you know, sort of the thing that Ohio State really struggles with the most when it comes to opposing defenses. Their secondary is not great, but I think that C.J. Stroud, after a subpar game against Penn State where he was one of six in the red zone touchdown-wise, and I think that you're going to see him come out 400 yards passing and five touchdown passes.
He was one of six in the red zone?
Yes. He knows that. It falls on the quarterback. It always falls on the quarterback.
I thought you were of the mindset that they were challenging the running game.
They were, but it's still, he should have – it's on the quarterback. Everyone knows that.
All right.
This is bold predictions.
Okay, fine Stroud hater.
400, five touchdowns for C.J. Stroud.
Let's get.
Is he going to get benched next? Huh?
Why would he do that?
I want to start this actually by saying that Austin is not a bully. Everyone, listen. We travel together many times throughout the year.
Yeah, you guys do.
We get along.
I hope you guys have fun in a Nebraska trip.
We get along very well. All three of us and Zach.
Yeah,
okay?
bullying. From virtual.
The three
from
of us get
afar.
Along great. And then there's Zach.
So, and then there's Maude. There we go.
Speaking of not getting along, Ohio State in the red zone did not get along last
week.
That
is a terrible. That's awful. Go on.
One of six in the red zone. Do you know what the best way to score points without having to worry about
touchdowns.
The red zone is?
Don't get into the red zone.
Don't get into the red zone. Just score before you get there.
Shoot,
Ohio
you got it
State
wrong.
Will have four touchdowns of more than 50 yards.
Those are some explosive plays.
That's
I'm
going to
drill down. This offense is very explosive. Nice. Good defense.
How many runs do they have to be that explosive?
Oh, no.
That's a Nebraska joke that only a few people will get.
Good defenses are able to get Ohio State down in the red zone and make them take snaps there. Mm. Average to bad defenses are not able to do that. We've seen that already this year. Ohio State's going to have a few explosive plays. When you talk about Garrett Wilson missing out on a long touchdown pass, you know, didn't get one, hasn't gotten one in a couple weeks. You talk about Chris Olave, I think his longest the last few weeks has been the 34 or 38 yarder. I think you're going to see Ohio State really try to stretch the field in this game because, like Berm said, the secondary is a little iffy. So 50-yard touchdowns, whether it's a run or a pass, I don't know, four of them at least for the Buckeyes.
Bold. I like it.
I don't know. I kind of want to go last. I know you go last, but I know I'll go, but I feel like I'm coming off a bad week.
Yeah.
Playing a little hurt right now.
Are you injured or hurt?
I'm full on injured right now. I had a good week for the Indiana Bowl predictions. Uh-huh, so I came out a little confident, guns blazing, and I went completely 0 for 3, but such a bad 0 for 3 that it was like an 0 for 10 effort. So
don't let the complacency creep in, Zach.
I'll keep it simple this week. I think they score 60 plus points against Nebraska, and sort of the only pushback is the fact that Ryan Day has called off the dogs a little bit against Rutgers and Maryland. He apologized to Scott Frost last year for some reason. Well, after scoring that last minute touchdown.
Nebraska saved football.
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of like, we're brothers in arms last year. This is about breaking arms this year.
If they come out and win 63-7, 63-10, something like that,
yeah.
Scott Frost might be done after this weekend.
Well, he's probably done anyway.
I know this could be the final nail in the coffin. So there is that little caveat. Maybe Ryan Day calls off the dogs, but I say 60 plus points and they might push for 70 this time.
I think that coaching fraternity brotherhood between those two was a 1 year, arrangement of convenience, and that's over with. And Ohio State will want to bury Nebraska, but that's skipping ahead to the final prediction. I think that Ohio State, it's remarkable what they're doing on defense, and I know that you've dropped some numbers, Spencer's dropped some numbers that suggest statistically maybe not great. Maybe some things are good, some things are bad. Pass rush is getting better. The turnovers are all that really matters, really, when you're trying to balance out what Ohio State does offensively. And, they're second in the league in interceptions. They've scored 6 touchdowns on defense. And all of that has happened without getting to play against Adrian Martinez, who is like Santa Claus for defensive touchdowns, or Oprah, and he's just going to hand them out left and right. And I think Ohio State's going to score 3 defensive touchdowns in this game.
Santa Claus or Oprah?
What's
the difference?
Put them together, and you've got some real magic happening.
Oprah Claus?
Santa Oprah?
Oprah Claus.
There are 3 different versions.
We'll workshop it, and we'll come up with that. I know that we're going to be seeing it. He also wears red and white. It's very fitting. Anyway.
He said, I know that we'll be seeing it, so we have plenty of time to come up with
the game. Yeah, two pick sixes, 1 for Cam Brown, 1 for Denzel Burke, and a strip sack return for a touchdown for Haskell Garrett.
Are you sad that you didn't make a Cam Brown bowl prediction last week and he got that interception?
Well, it's a little bit of that reverse psychology that Berm's been trying to bring.
Big fan of that.
If you want, you can't just dangle too many carrots out there for these guys. You want to make them earn it. Like, not that you're expecting them to do it and they want to prove you wrong. I think that's what happened last week for Cam Brown. But I did say on Buck IQ that we got to work on the return for Cam Brown. Ohio State sets it up to go to the sideline. You don't have to run all the way across the field, Cam. Let's get this.
He's going to learn from that.
You're going to learn from that. And he will understand where to go with it. Now, everybody's got to learn those reps. Like, he hadn't had the football in his hands.
That's true. You know what I think is interesting?
Yes. What's interesting, Berm?
Hold on. Oprah?
I feel like Nebraska
has played against 2 of the 3 best offenses in the Big Ten, Michigan State and Michigan. They have played against Oklahoma, who is 2nd in the country in offensive efficiency. And they're giving up less than 350 yards a game, which is pretty crazy. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
Ohio State's going to get 600
it's not
yards.
That crazy.
Ohio
it's
State
not
will
crazy.
Get 600 yards. Ohio State has the best offense in the Big Ten. Nebraska actually has the 2nd best offense in the Big Ten, if you guys want to talk about yardage.
In terms of yardage.
So, I mean, you can.
Not in terms of turnovers.
Scoring. They're like 4th in scoring. But, Nebraska's actually. They've played some good teams, and they've played them well. They've lost, I think, 6 straight games by less than a touchdown or in a 1-possession game. And I think that this game is going to be a lot closer than people think. We'll talk about that in the final score prediction. But I think it's going to be a 600-yard offensive day for Ohio State. So 400 for Stroud through the air and 200 for the Buckeyes running game, which, again, they were challenged last week by James Franklin's defense and then by Ryan Day trying to put them on the spot and say, hey, go ahead and do it. And they failed, and I think that they're going to come out this week with some smoke coming out of the ears, and I think you're going to see a 200-yard rushing day for the Buckeye offense and a 600-yard total day.
Spencer, you know these numbers much better than I do. Don't they average like 240 yards per game rushing? Like, how bold is it to say they're going to run for 200?
It's the 600 total combined with Nebraska giving up less than 350 a game. That's why it's bold.
I think when you do 2 bold predictions and wrap it into one, is that they kind of play hand in hand with each other. I think I'm going to allow it, but overall, if you're talking about rushing yards, it's not
now very, I am mad at Spencer.
Not very bold.
We just let Berm go as a renegade and do whatever he wants. The Larry Johnson podcast.
Yeah,
there's my second bold prediction.
Oh,
my second bold prediction is going to go to my favorite defensive player on this entire roster.
Clay, who's that?
Steel Chambers will have 10 tackles in the second half.
Whoa!
This is a man who should not be sitting out in the first half.
Definitely shouldn't be.
Should not. be a backup linebacker on this roster.
Definitely shouldn't be, also right.
And should fly to the football the way he always does with a, you know, a chip on his shoulder that is rather large, considering he doesn't get to play in that first half. He's going to have a lot of making up to do in the second half, and I think he's going to be able to do that. This is a guy who I can admit when I'm wrong. I was completely wrong about the way he's transitioned to linebacker, the way he's made the switch. He looks like the best linebacker on this team. And for him to...
I don't remember you saying that he couldn't play linebacker.
I did not think that move was going to work.
Okay.
I'm just proud of you that you're able to admit when you make a mistake. It was a private thought.
You didn't even have to publicize that.
Yeah.
And so
it's transparency and accountability. Yeah.
10 second half tackles because this is a guy who's going to play with his hair on fire because of the way he can't play in the first half.
And Nebraska is going to run the ball a lot with quarterbacks. Scott Frost's offense always do. Adrian Martinez is their leading rusher. A lot of hits in the backfield at the line of scrimmage.
And if there's one guy.
I'm with you.
If there's one guy who should be like a spy.
Two are forming a weird alliance.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. The alliance.
If there's one guy who should be a spy as a linebacker on this team for running quarterbacks, it's probably Steel Chambers. Yeah. He can run sideline to sideline. So, yeah, 10 second-half tackles.
That's a great point.
Well, this kind of sucks because mine was going to be a Steel Chambers one, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway.
There's no rule.
He is going to return interception for a touchdown in the second half. Mm-hmm. I mean, six defensive touchdowns, right, for that you said that's most in Ohio State history? Well, they're going to tack on to that.
It's tied, right?
Well, I mean, that would still make it the most.
Yeah, gotcha.
All right, we'll get IT on it.
I'm just checking
it out.
Yeah.
So, Steel Chambers, he's going to make up for lost time. What was it, the Maryland game? The Maryland game and the Tulsa game where they returned an interception for a touchdown and basically garbage time. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to happen again this week. I mean, Steel Chambers, like Spencer said, for all the points he hit on, he's going to come out pretty aggressive and a little fast, a little furious. So he's going to take one of the house.
Fast and furious. I love it. I think you're starting to see Cade Stover turn the corner a little bit, and Ohio State want to use him a little bit more. I don't know if part of it is because Jeremy Ruckert has been inconsistent by his own standards, and he's had a few drops we've talked about on this show and others, and you know, a little bit of ball security issue last week. I'm not saying it's directly a cause of Jeremy Ruckert's fault, but also that Ohio State does deep down like to use two tight ends. The success of those three wide receivers has maybe made that a little bit less of the package than you would have normally seen in standard circumstances, but Cade Stover, when he gets an opportunity, he's been making the most of it. We know that he's athletic when the football is in his hands, seems to be getting more comfortable with the responsibilities at tight end. I think that he's going to score a touchdown on Saturday.
First
career touchdown is going to be coming in this game. You know, maybe you'll see down in that red zone as they address that.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Put those extra tight ends in there. Let Mitch Rossi and Cade Stover cook a little bit. Go with the jumbo set with three of them. And create some problems there in tight spaces. Because this team, that's what makes the 1-for-6 failing to score touchdowns last week so puzzling. Now, Penn State is a good team, I get that. But you know, if they just want to line up and maul somebody, they've got the dudes to do that. Illinois did that to Penn State with 9 offensive linemen on the field, and not a single one of those guys would play for Ohio State. So that part was a little weird, but maybe that just means that they figured out, hey, going to have to do some things a little bit different or uncharacteristic or unnatural for Ryan Day, who loves to throw the ball and wants the quarterbacks to throw it all the time. But you do a little play action and flip it out to Cade Stover and get a score.
Do you know what the high temperature is supposed to be Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska? 70 degrees is what I heard today as I departed.
Should I look this up right now?
I was beginning packing.
He doesn't know what's going on with the weather.
70 degrees.
He's been wrong the last 2 weeks.
I was definitely going to pour down rain.
70
down
degrees is the expected high. So Lincoln's bringing the heat, and so are the Buckeyes defensive linemen.
That's how you do a segue, Spencer.
Is it?
Here you go. So Ohio State leads the Big Ten in sacks.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
So you're saying Lincoln's bring the heat, as is Ohio State's defense.
Yeah, so there's going to be
against
double
heat. An offense led by Frost.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, we've lost this one, folks.
That sucks.
Here's the deal. Ohio State leads the Big Ten in sacks. Nebraska has given up the third most sacks in the conference. That's going to lead to a real hectic day for Adrian Martinez because he likes to throw the ball away and turn it over. Ohio State knows that. They're going to apply the pressure. They're going to apply the pressure early and often, drill down 7 Ohio State sacks.
I wasn't even listening to half of what he said because I was still thinking about
7 Ohio State sacks, including not 1, not 2, not 3. No, just kidding. 3 by Tyreek Smith.
7 sacks. You almost went there.
7 sacks, 3 by Tyreek Smith.
We're doing well.
This show is getting weirder every week.
Sure is.
So this is a big week for the Ohio State linebackers. When you talk about a quarterback who's, while he is prone to turning the ball over, he's pretty good at creating plays for himself.
He nearly beat Ohio State in that building across the street 3 years ago.
And when you have a quarterback who's willing to make plays, you know, against the defensive line that is going to pressure him, he's going to be able to get out of the pocket every now and again. And that's just going to happen. Ohio State's going to have to live with that from time to time. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on what these linebackers are going to do. There's a second speedy linebacker on this roster that I'm thinking is going to play a pretty big role in the next 4 weeks of the season. And it's a guy who maybe not hasn't had as big of an impact as people would have thought when he was cleared. Polye Neoteote is going to have to play in the first half because of the absence of Steel Chambers. Right. And when he's in the open field, he's pretty good with his closing speed. And I think he's a guy that can make an impact the next few weeks. I'm going to say a sack and a half for him. I don't think it's like, you know, Adrian Martinez standing in the pocket, but I think you'll see him be credited with a sack and a half because when he gets out of that pocket behind the line of scrimmage, it'll still be considered a sack. So a sack and a half for Polye Neoteote on the scrambles, because I think that's going to be crucial to slowing down this offense.
Hmm. Yeah, no one's had our annual Travion Henderson bowl prediction. Our weekly.
Yeah,
well, it could be annual next year and the next year. We haven't had our weekly Travion Henderson bowl prediction. Yeah, you guys are good teammates. Yeah. This brotherhood we have here.
Remember how many carries Evan Pryor last week was so close to 100 yards.
He almost killed it. I mean, I crushed that one.
He had 0 carries. So
to be fair, all of my bowl predictions were based on absolute blowout.
I figured we'd leave this one for you.
Go ahead, Zach. Come on. We got to.
Thanks, guys. We struggled for you, so we wanted to.
I love layups. Yeah. I love wide open layups. All right. I'll take 300 plus scrimmage yards for Travion Henderson.
Oh, buddy!
As a layup?
Hey, that's not a layup.
Big.
Bam. Let's go. They're Ohio State offensive line. They weren't terrible. They weren't terrible against
Travion.
Love it.
That's down this is the what field. You feel like every week.
Zach, that is bold. 300 scrimmage yards for Travion Henderson.
That's yes. A loss.
3 touchdowns.
And 3 touchdowns. All right. The Ohio State offensive line, like I was saying before you guys really interrupted me, was they didn't play terrible last week, but they were just fine. They're fine. I think they're going to come out with a little statement to make.
It's worse. Us, like, interrupting you or me giving a very deep drill down on the defensive line against Nebraska's offensive line and none of you even listening.
I was not listening.
I tend to think that's worse.
I had a good breakdown of what's going to happen with the weather in Lincoln.
If
and then you
keep ignoring me, I'm going to break down. Austin, what's your final prediction?
I think we all know what this is.
I didn't do as much research on Nebraska special teams as I did last week for Penn State, which really fueled me to greatness with that pick. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been 7 years since Ohio State returned a punt for a touchdown.
7 long years.
And that streak is going to continue on Saturday against Nebraska, but Emeka Ebuka, kickoff return. It'll be the third kickoff of the game.
Nebraska's going to have 3 kickoffs.
Wait, right.
Second. Yeah, okay. Second. Right. Yeah, I'm just going to do the math. Yeah, that's right. It's going to come on the second kickoff of the game. Emeka Ebuka to the house. And that drought, which goes back even further to 2010, will end with a special teams touchdown for the Buckeyes.
He's been so close.
He sure has.
So close.
Do you guys have score predictions?
I have score predictions.
Okay, cool.
Ohio State's going to win.
Uh-huh.
The final score is going to be 45-31.
Oh, dear.
Oh, a repeat of the Minnesota score. Okay.
45-31 Buckeyes. Again, Nebraska averages 30 points a game. They're the second highest yardage offense in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
They're middle of the road defensively. Ohio State is getting better defensively, but they still struggle against the pass, just giving up yards. Adrian Martinez is throwing for 265 yards a game. There's an opportunity. They got a really good receiver, the transfer from Montana, whose name is escaping me, some sort of French name. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's really good, 6'3". That's the type of guy that we really haven't seen Denzel Burke have to play against that bigger body type. So I think that you're going to see Nebraska score some points, but I do think the Buckeyes are going to win. I don't think it's going to be like the Minnesota game where you need the late score to stretch it. I think you'll see the Buckeyes up 45-17 at some point and maybe just kind of pedal off a little bit.
Yeah, I like Omar Manning too. He's a pretty good receiver for Nebraska as well. And one other quick thing.
Just knock it off.
If there is a week Ohio State's going to get a special teams touchdown, it is against this absolutely putrid, disgusting excuse for a special team unit that Nebraska
tried. I should have done more research.
Nebraska special teams is one of the worst things in the world. They should have beat Michigan
in
State.
In the world?
They should have beat Michigan State and gave up a terrible punt return for a touchdown. They
poverty,
had the awful
starvation Nebraska special teams. adds up.
Nickelback,
number four.
And they should have beat Illinois, but they had the crazy safety thing because they couldn't field a punt. The special teams is horrible.
Wow. He won't say Nickelback because Chad Kroeger murdered April Levine.
That's right.
And he thinks that she stole it.
I know.
Chad Kroeger, if you're listening to this.
Levine?
Avril.
He said April. Oh, I thought you said April.
Most people call her Avril.
Okay, I got a score prediction. Okay,
if Chad Kroger's listening to this, it was a joke. Please do not sue me for libel.
52-31. I like the 31 berm. Okay. But I think that's a late 31, too. I have a bonus bold prediction real quick. Ohio State's going to win the coin toss.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Ohio State's 1-7 this year on coin tosses. Ohio State's going to win the coin toss.
That's super bold.
Do they lose it on purpose? He tweets it out before every game.
This is the show we do numbers. Zach, what's your final score prediction?
I agree with you guys. I think I have 63-21, going to be a late 21. I mean, I don't think it's going to be anywhere close for pretty much after the first quarter.
All right. Ohio State will win.
The spread's what, 18? 16?
I think Spencer said it dropped down. Was it 15?
15 and a half.
I think that 11 a.m. start has got people worried. And Nebraska, again, they've played Oklahoma. They've played Michigan. They've played Michigan State. They've played Iowa. They played some good teams and played them
Purdue?
Tight. Purdue. I mean, they played good teams and played them tight.
Yeah, I think that's why they're tapped out on this, because they also haven't seen a team as good as Ohio State, which will beat Nebraska on Saturday at 11 a.m., 63-17. Looking forward to being out there again. As Zach would say, an annual occurrence for these teams to match up.
DTO.
Yeah.
Going to be out there. We're going to have full coverage of this game, as always, at lettermanrow.com. Hang with us. Thanks for watching this and bearing with us as we get through our weirdest show, which is Bold Predictions. That's Spencer Holbrook, Zach Carpenter, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. We will see you in Nebraska.